everybody. Welcome to Next Level. If you're in Oakley or if you're joining us anywhere, it's a good night to pull a little bit closer to God. That's why we do Next Level. It's an opportunity for us to pull a little bit closer to God through worship together, and we're going to do a lot of that tonight. It's also an opportunity to pull closer together as we remember what Jesus has done to make that possible for us to be close to Him through communion and some teaching tonight. So it's going to be a great night together, and that's what it's about. So stand up, and we're going to begin by singing some songs.
Who brings the power of sin into You shine in the light. Sing that with us. You alone are the matchless King. You alone be your majesty. Your glory's wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air. You shine.
Yeah.
lot of darkness around me just kind of bring me down and speak into who I am and not focus on God and my relationship with Him, and that's what matters most in who He says that I am. And this song is a forever anthem for me. I want to ever be reminded to just abide in God, abide in His presence and who He says that I am, and follow Him with everything that I have. And the verses just say, may your voice be louder, may it be clearer. And so if there's anything that you brought into this place today that shouldn't be there, or you just want to let go of, here's your permission. I had a horrible start to my day. It wasn't terrible. I just still had all this stuff in my brain. And God is a redeeming God, and He's a joyful God. And this latter half of my day, God just been like, I love you. Here's lots of joy and love and awesomeness. And I just want that for everybody in this room. So if there's anything you need to let go of it, and let God fill you with joy, and let's ask Him to be near, speak to us, and help us abide in Him. Cool? Let's do it.
May your voice be louder. May your voice be clearer than all the others. Than all the others. May your face. May your face be dearer. Yeah. Great.
sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! How great thou art! How great thou art! God, you are good. You are great. You are worthy to be praised. And I just thank you for encountering me today, letting me know that you love me in new and fresh ways, and for your presence, for your joy, and just for your love. So thank you, God. Be with Chuck as he gives this message. Open our hearts to hear whatever it is that you have for each and every single person in this room, God, that you would speak to us individually. And just let each and one of us know how much you care for us. Thanks, God. Amen. Good seeing you guys. You can see. Have a seat.
Amen. Hey, let's thank these guys again for leading us and singing. Good, good, good to be reminded of those words. Good to be reminded that God is great. Isn't that right? God is great. Good to be reminded of that. Well, welcome to Next Level, everybody. This is the second Next Level of 2016 already. And last month when we got together, we just did more of that. We just sang together. And so if you're newer to Next Level, I just want to give you a little bit of context about what we do here. Next Level really is a place for us to dive deeper into whatever it is that we're talking about on the weekends. And so that's how we're thinking about Next Level in 2016. And so there are going to be nights like we did last month where all we do is get together and sing and just stand together and worship and experience and encounter God in that way. And then like tonight, there'll be times when that singing is interspersed with some teaching. So that's what we're doing tonight. And tonight, I'm going to talk briefly about something that you've probably heard of before. Probably not a new concept to you, but for some of us, this concept or idea, maybe it's locked away in prayers that you prayed, or maybe you heard some charismatic person in a weird-looking suit or costume kind of talk about this thing called the Holy Spirit. But we're going to talk about that tonight. And the biggest thing that I pray comes out of tonight is that you don't leave here understanding more about the concept called the Holy Spirit, but that you recognize that the Holy Spirit is a person and you experience more of the personhood of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And, you know, when we get together for Next Level, we do make some assumptions that we don't make on the weekends. So, for instance, one of the things that I'm assuming is if you've come back to be with us on a Wednesday night, the high probability is you have said yes to following Jesus. And so we make some assumptions around that in terms of how we talk at Next Level. It's primarily why we do communion at Next Level. But even if you aren't yet a Christ follower, and I would emphasize aren't yet a Christ follower, because you're not a Christ follower yet, but you are here for Next Level, I want you to know God is pursuing you. God is pursuing you. And we're excited about that. We're excited about that. So I want to welcome you because that tells me that you want to go further and you want to go deeper in your pursuit of the truth. And so tonight's topic is exactly the kind of thing that Next Level is for. So we've been in this series, Death to Religion, where we've been exploring the difference, we've been defining the difference between religion, call it a set of systems and rules and things you have to do to hit marks to get a relationship with God, and relationship with Jesus, which is something altogether different. You might say it's really the comparison between religion and the gospel. And so I want to just define that really quickly. Religion is all about the externals. It's about working on all your behaviors, and if your behaviors line up right with what God loves and cares about, then you can be in right relationship with God. But the good news, the gospel says the exact opposite. The gospel is all about the internals. And the fact that Jesus came to change us from the inside out. And the more that we connect with the relationship that we can have with Jesus, the more it impacts our externals. But it doesn't start there. It starts on the inside and works its way out. And I want to just clarify one thing, because I've had a couple people ask me questions. All right, so this is like the We Hate Church series, right? No, this is not the We Hate Church series. It is not. Okay, this is the We Hate Spiritual Disciplines and kind of those kinds of things series. No, it is not. In fact, one of the things I want to emphasize, because it's really important for what we're talking about tonight, is any approach, any ritual, any rhythm or practice that you have that's rooted in relationship with Jesus is actually not harmful at all. It's incredibly helpful. In fact, you need it. You need it. The example that I would use is date night with my wife. I do date nights with my wife, and when I'm at my game and I'm at my A game, I do them religiously. I do them regularly. But here's the deal. Date nights aren't an end in and of themselves. At the end of 2016, the question that I'm going to ask myself isn't, how many times did I go on a date with Maria? That's not the question to ask. The question to ask is, have those regular, ritual, religious dates led me deeper into relationship with her? Do I know her better this year? Have we been able to connect through date nights in the way that we can't in the hustle and bustle of life with three kids and a full schedule? That's the point. And so anything that points us in the direction of relationship with Jesus is actually a very helpful thing. And it's about relationship with Jesus. So the thing that I want to talk about tonight is this, that when we talk about following Jesus, we are not talking about following a set of principles. We're talking about following a person. A person. Jesus is a person. And we can relate to him personally. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let me pray before we jump in. Jesus, I pray that tonight you show us who you really are. We pray for the true you. We want the real you. We ask you for you. Spirit of God, free us in every way to know Jesus as he really is. Open our eyes to see him. Deliver us from everything that is false about you. And bring us what is true of you. And I pray that all of us go to a new place in our understanding and relation to you as a person, even in these brief moments together. Amen. So how does that happen? How do we move closer into a personal relationship with Jesus? How do we get to know Jesus, the person? The first thing is we have to believe this. We have to believe that God came, God became known to us in a person and now leads us through a person. That God became known to us in a person and now leads us through a person. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. And listen to what it says about Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Man, I don't know if you've ever read through this book in the Bible, this letter that was written to the New Testament church, the book of Hebrews, but it is chock full of Jesus the person stuff. I mean, you want to understand Jesus the person, it's a great book to dig into. And I love what these first verses, as he's opening this letter, what they tell us. First of all, he says, God has always been communicating to mankind. Because he says, long ago, God was communicating to mankind. But long ago, God used mediators. He used the prophets. So God would inspire prophets like we see in the Old Testament, be it Moses or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel. And he would speak through those prophets and he would speak words that were for the people who followed him. But he says now in this present time, and that now present time started when Jesus came, but that also relates to now, right now, present time. Now God spoke a son to us. Do you see the difference there? He was speaking words through other people before, but now he spoke a son. He spoke a person into existence who could help us to understand exactly what he was like, because that person was him. Jesus was, in fact, God with skin on. He made himself human in order to relate to us, in order to be understood by us, and actually in order to save us. And what this verse tells us is Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. I don't have to guess about what God is like. I know exactly what God is like in the sense that I know what Jesus is like. Isn't that good? That we don't have to guess about this abstract theory thing called God, but God showed us in Jesus what he's exactly like. And he didn't stop there. Not only did he make himself known to us in a person, but today, you and I, as people who've said yes to Jesus, if that's where you are, you can relate to God, and God, in fact, does relate to you through a person. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you realize this or not, but Jesus is not like living, walking, and moving around. Jesus is probably not sitting among us physically right now. I don't know if you knew that or not. Don't be surprised. Maybe the person next to you told you they were Jesus. They're crazy. They're not Jesus. I'm just telling you. So that Jesus isn't doing that physically anymore. And yet, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, what we have in him relationally through the Holy Spirit is even better than if he was sitting in the room with us today. That's crazy to me. That is unbelievable. There's a guy, a pastor in Toledo, and I just found his blog. His name is Sammy Adebiyi. I think that's how you say his last name. And he was referencing this verse, John 16:7. I think we have it up there, where Jesus has the audacity to say this to his disciples who've been hanging out with him face to face every day for 3 years. I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go away. What? It is better for you that I go away. If I do not go, the helper, which is what Jesus called the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Can you imagine being one of the disciples and hearing those words? You've been hanging with, kicking it with Jesus. You've been kicking it with Jesus every day for 3 years, eating with him, playing ball with him, whatever ball looked like then. And Jesus has the audacity to say, actually, there's something even better coming because I'm leaving. What? How's that better? I like the way he put it. He said this. He said, Mr. Jesus, I know you're the savior of the world and everything, but if it's okay with you, I'm just going to go ahead and throw a yellow flag on that one. He must be a soccer fan. It is better for you to go away? Are you kidding me? Do you realize how easy it would be to do everything you called us to do if you physically remained here with us? Evangelism, piece of cake. Hey, John, can I tell you about a buddy of mine named Jesus? Oh, hey, there he is over there. Let's go and say hi. How about worship? Can you imagine how fun it would be to sing to Jesus while he's sitting in the front row? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, wait, he's right here. Man, I really appreciate somebody looking at that verse honestly and saying, how in the world can that be true? And yet we know Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus says, it's far better for you that I go away. You know why? Because Jesus was with the disciples. And if Jesus was still in human form, because of that limitation, he couldn't be anywhere else but where he was at that moment. But through the Holy Spirit, not only is the personhood of Jesus with us, but the personhood of Jesus, guys, is in us. It's in us. It's in us. So there's a different level of relationship, and there's a different level of enablement that we can experience because Jesus, the personhood of Jesus, is existing in the Holy Spirit. You could say if God said that Jesus was the radiance and the exact imprint of him, then in many ways the Holy Spirit is the radiance and the exact nature and character of Jesus in us. In us. And it's so important that we understand the Holy Spirit to be a person, not an aura, not a force, not a cloud, not something that kind of like, woo, what was that? I felt the Holy Spirit right now. That's great. That's great if you feel something like that. But the Holy Spirit is a person. You would never talk about a person that way, would you? Hopefully not. If you do, that's kind of strange. He's a person. And it's important that we understand that. One of the pastors that I respect said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, if we think of the Holy Spirit as a mysterious power, our thought will continually be, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? How can I, feel more of the Holy Spirit up in here? I know I'm preaching to somebody because somebody came from church and did it all the time. So how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? But if we think of the Holy Spirit as a person, our thought will be, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? That's a game changer right there. How do we get from saying, I want more of the Holy Spirit, to saying, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? The first thought is entirely pagan. The second is New Testament Christianity. God became known to us in a person and now relates to us through a person. So how do we get more of us to the Holy Spirit? We look for him in the right places, and we need to be ready to follow. We look for him in the right places, and we need to be ready to follow. And there's a lot of places to look for him. I could talk about looking for him in prayer, looking for him through nature, looking through him through the community of growing Christ followers, which is why we get together for things like Next Level. But I want to focus on two things that are just relevant right now in my life, and that is, how do we experience, engage, relate to the Holy Spirit through the Bible and through our present circumstances? So the first thing is, how do we learn the personality of God in his word? How do we learn the personality of God in his word? When you read through the Bible, you'll see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit depicted in the Bible. You will see the life of Jesus as a person in the Bible. In the four Gospels, we see his life unfolded there. And the Bible says of itself that the Holy Spirit actually inspired the words of God. That the Bible is actually inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is all over the Bible. And it would make sense that if I want to know more about the personhood of Jesus, the personhood of the Holy Spirit, I have to go to the place that puts on display his words and his actions. Because the more exposure you get to a person's words and their actions and their presence, the more of them kind of rubs off on you, more of them that kind of shapes and forms you. I see this in my kids. My kids say actually all the time. My four-year-old will start sentences, well, Dad, actually, and then he'll explain whatever. Do you know why my kids say actually all the time? Well, actually, it's because I say it all the time. So my kids, how do my kids know me? They know me because they are constantly absorbing my words and my actions. They're in my presence absorbing my words and my actions. That's how I haven't shown them a biography of the life of Chuck Mingo. That doesn't exist. And if they did, they probably wouldn't watch it for more than 15 minutes anyway. That's not how they know me. They know me because they've been absorbing my words and my actions as they spend time with me. That's how my kids know me. Here's another example. You ever heard, and probably your parents said this when you were a teenager, you are who you hang with. Somebody just said that to their kid tonight, right? You are who you hang with. And it's true. I think about the people I spend the most time with, and I'm telling you, they form and inform almost every area of my life. If I hang out with guys who are faithful husbands, you know what? That helps me be a faithful husband. If I hang out with guys who have habits in their life and disciplines in their life that are running after God, that shapes and motivates me to run after God the same way. And it's truly opposite. If I spend all my time with guys who take the wedding ring off as soon as they get into an environment like that, and that's the way they live their life, I'd be foolish to think that doesn't shape and influence me. You are who you hang with. So the more time you spend absorbing the words and the actions of the Holy Spirit, the more of you the Holy Spirit gets. And the way that happens is through the word of God. One of the ways that I have experienced God more, or learned more of his character through the Bible, happened when I was reading a verse in the book of Hebrews that talks about Jesus this way. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things." And I got to tell you, I've read this verse several times in my life. Many times I've absorbed these words and kind of reflected on these actions, but it's only been this year that I experienced something of the personhood of Jesus that's reflected in this verse in a way that I had never thought about it before. This verse goes on to talk about Jesus dying for our sins, which is amazing. And yet the thing that struck me as I spent more time just sitting in this and as I started interacting with Jesus and the personhood of the Holy Spirit around, what am I to get from this? It really struck me one day that there is power in that word. He partook of the same things. That phrase is very meaningful to me. And I'm actually going to read a snippet from my journal based on that verse. One day as I was writing about this, I said, the beauty of this, that phrase, he partook of the same things, is the deeper why. Jesus died to save us from our sins, but couldn't he have done it without living in human limitations and human relationships for 30 years? Why partake with us? And then I realized it's to identify with us. That really struck me. Think about it. Jesus could have lived one day, and in that one day, he could have come as a fully formed adult, and he could have died, and he would have been a perfect sacrifice for our sins. I don't see any reason theologically why, if God chose for it to be that way, it wouldn't be that way. I don't see any reason. And yet, what did Jesus choose to do? He chose to come as a baby. He chose to have to learn how to walk. He chose to be a kid that could get bullied. He chose to be a human being that had to deal with the limitations of being tired and hungry and thirsty. The Bible says he was tempted in every way and yet did not sin. Why did Jesus go through all of that crapola that's a part of the human experience? To identify with us. Man, that tells me something about his character. That tells me something about the personhood of Jesus. And it makes me want more of him. It makes me want to be in relationship with someone who would go to that length to identify with us. Man, that makes me love him more. I got that from spending time absorbing the words and Jesus' actions in the Bible. So, man, if you want to connect with this person, if you want more of the Holy Spirit in you, I'd encourage you to have a regular rhythm of absorbing his words and actions in the Bible. How does that play out? Well, this is next level. So let me just say, if you are in here and you don't have, or you're listening anywhere, and you don't have a regular rhythm of spending time in the Bible, that probably makes you a normal American Christian. So don't feel guilty. First, no guilt here. And secondly, let me give you a very, very easy starting point. It's called the daily. It's called the daily. Free email that comes to your email 5 days a week, and it will give you a piece of scripture, and I would encourage you, and I'm going to talk to you about how to do that in a second, engage that. Engage that. Spend time in that passage with God. Now, for some of us in here, we're probably doing something like that or something even a bit above and beyond that. So what would it look like for you if you really wanted to focus in on absorbing more of the character and personhood of the Spirit so you can understand more of what God is like? I'll give you a couple ideas, just some things to think about. If you never have done this, I would encourage you to read through all four of the biographies of Jesus' life, like one after the other. You can pick whichever one you want to start with, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but just start with one and then read through all of them because they all give you different pictures and different perspectives on who Jesus is and his personality. And so if you want to understand more about him and connect to him, spend time engaging in the story of when he was on earth. Because when he was on earth, what Hebrews tells us is he was the exact imprint of the nature of God. So you can learn a ton by just doing that. If you've never done that, highly encourage you to do that. And one of the things that you can do to supercharge that is actually approach the Bible as if it's an appointment with God at a Starbucks. If I was on your calendar and you said, hey, let's meet at Starbucks, I'm not going to go into Starbucks with the assumption that you're not there, am I? I'm not going to go into Starbucks and walk around like, well, obviously you're not going to meet me here, so let me just sit down and find a place and I'll just read my book, and then after I get tired of reading my book, I'll just close my book and I'll leave. I mean, if I did that and you were in there, you'd be like, hey, Chuck, hey, I'm right here. I'm right here. But so many times I think we approach the Bible that way. Here's my duty. I got to read some scripture. All right, let me just open up the Bible and I'll read it, and I'm just going to spend some time reading, and I'm going to close the book, and I'm just going to go about my day. As if we're not interacting with a person. So what does it look like to open your Bible and treat it like you're about to have coffee with Jesus at Starbucks? I think one of the things you can do is start the conversation with questions. This is something that's been very helpful for me. It's not original to me. A friend of mine taught me this, and it's been so helpful. When you approach the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit two simple questions. Hey, I'm going to read the Bible today, and Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, one, what is it you want me to see about you in what I read today? What does this teach me about you? What does it teach me about your character? What does it teach me about what you care about? What you are grieved by? What you're leading me to? What your vision is for me or for the world? What is this supposed to teach me about you? And then the second question is, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to see about myself today? What do I need to be reminded of? What do I need to be corrected on? What do I need to be encouraged around? What do I need to learn and understand in a way that I don't right now? Just encourage you to go into the Bible with the expectations that you're meeting with a person, not just reading words on a page. And then one final way to supercharge this thing, one final way to supercharge it, you can do this with whatever you're reading, do it in the context of community. That might look like reading it with other people at the same time. It could also look like just committing with some friends. Hey, let's read through Hebrews together. Let's read through those four books together, and let's spend time talking about what it is that you're learning based on those two questions. What did you read in this week, and what did you learn about the Holy Spirit? What did you learn about God? And then what did you learn about yourself? These are ways that the Bible becomes more than just words on a page, but actually a gateway for us to encounter and experience the personhood of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So I'd encourage you to do that, to understand more about him through his word. But I want to just take the last couple of minutes to tell you about another way, and this is a very present one for me, a very relevant one for me, a way that I'm experiencing the Spirit as well is I am experiencing Him, I'm getting to know God through my current reality. I'm getting to know God through my current reality. Sometimes, if you're like me, you might think, well, the best way for me to experience, you know, the Spirit, to do what you're talking about, Chuck, is to take a week off and go down somewhere where it's like, you know, it's a retreat, and I have time to just focus on God, which if you can do that, awesome, do that. I highly recommend that. Want to do that more myself. But there is this thing called life that we live, right? Anybody else living just like life, straight up life, right? And what if actually the Spirit wants to meet you right where you are, that you don't have to wait until you get to that retreat, but He wants to meet you right where you are. A guy said this, Craig Keener, this struck me. He said, an important step in getting to know God is to realize how available He is to us. Do you believe that God is available to you in your real life right now? Do you believe that God is available to you in the crazy meeting that you have tomorrow at work? Do you believe that God is available to you in the mundane things that you have to do to run your household tomorrow? And what if we believe that more? So God taught me a lesson on this week. He taught me a lesson about how He wants to meet me in my current circumstances. And I got to give a couple caveats before I tell this story. The first caveat I'll give you is this. This is a story about how I was not paying attention to God at first. And this is a story of me basically being about as big of a jerk as I can be. And the Holy Spirit intersected me in the middle of my jerkness this week. And I'm going to share that with you. And so here's the final thing. I reserve the right to share this story this weekend at the weekend services. So don't you be coming back to me and saying, hey, you shared that at Next Level. That's right. And I'm going to share it at the weekend if I so choose. Because we're talking about pride this weekend, and I got slapped in the face with just how prideful I can be. So I reserve the right to repeat this story this weekend. You okay with that? All right, good. So I'll go in. So what I experienced with the Holy Spirit this week was really His correction and His care. And I actually experienced both of those at the same time. It was beautiful and painful. But I experienced His correction and care. First, to give you some context of my weekend. So this really starts for me on Saturday morning. I had a crazy full weekend, unusually so. So Saturday morning, I did a funeral here. And so it was a, you know, lady that was a part of our community, lost a fight with cancer. So did a funeral, went straight from that funeral to Run Through, and then into five services where Brian and I had a race conversation on stage. Probably not the easiest conversation to have in front of a couple thousand of your closest friends. Although there was a highlight point for me, because at one of the services at 10 o'clock, somebody asked, you know, dispel the rumor, who can jump higher? And as you can see in this picture, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. Brian's actually in here tonight, so he probably has a rebuttal on that. But so five services, and then after the five services, I immediately went back to the chapel where I'd done the funeral on Saturday to baptize and dedicate babies. So it was like circle of life moment for me. You know, you go from one extreme to the other extreme. After that, I had a little thing in the evening that I was a part of called Undivided, which launched in Oakley this weekend. So suffice to say, Sunday was full, Saturday was full, and at the end of that, I was ready to go home, kind of celebrate some successes, and just chill. But there was another story that was developing Saturday night into Sunday morning, and it was called Influenza A or Influenza B or whatever it is, but my wife, when I came home, was about as sick as she has been in the 14 years of our marriage. And so I started getting texts from her that progressively got more intense as I was wrapping up Undivided that basically said, you need to come home as quickly as you can because I am dying on the vine with these three kids. So went, got dinner, went home, and when I get home, she's in bad shape. Like, you know, shaking chills that I can see, but telling me, can I get an extra blanket? Like all of that stuff that comes with the flu. And so I would love to say, this is the point that I jumped into sacrifice and die for your wife mode. And I just stepped in, guys, and I rescued my lovely bride. And I loved my children to bed. And it was an amazing night. But that would be a lie. That would be a lie. I was so frustrated. Not at her. I mean, obviously she didn't make herself sick. I was so frustrated. I'm like, You mean to tell me after all the things that I've done this weekend to pour myself out, now I have more? I can't even get a break at home? Are you serious? And I got home and we ate. It was a very fast dinner. And I started yelling at my kids, get to bed. You got to get them. And I was at my worst. My wife is upstairs, sick as a dog. I'm yelling at the kids. Finally, I get everybody to bed. And I'm just like, if I'm honest with you, really, my response to God was, God, this is not cool. This is not cool. After all the stuff that I've done this weekend, this is my reward. This is not cool. And I was struggling with resentment. I had a lot of selfishness, and I wanted to wallow in it, and I wallowed in it for about 24 hours. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit began to show me his personhood, and he began to deal with me. So next evening, she's still sick, I'm still home, and I was listening to a podcast, and the podcast was about, this is great, right? The podcast was about how a guy who had come through leukemia experience God in the midst of his suffering. And here I am upset because my wife is sick. So my first thought was, I am a total loser. And then my second thought was, I need to listen. And as I listened, in the midst of that, the guy asked a very powerful question. He said, one of the things that I realize is in the middle of difficulty, in the middle of suffering, it's not that God causes it, but a great question to ask is, God, what are you trying to get out of me here? And whatever mood I was in, man, that just hit me. And I just simply asked that question. I said, God, what is it you're trying to get out of me here? And so, believe it or not, guys, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He spoke to me. And what he spoke was corrective, but it was about as gentle of a correction as you can imagine. So I'm going to read it to you because I actually journaled the experience. So I asked that question, what is it you're trying to get out of me? And I said, I didn't have anything close to the level of suffering I just heard on this podcast. And yet, I was in total withdrawal from you at the beginning of yesterday. I hate my response to Maria's illness and the change of my plans. It's an ugly, sinful truth about what's still in my heart. I want things under my control. So maybe that's one thing you're trying to get out of me, my need for control. Eldridge said, this is the guy who was on the podcast, said, one of the greatest blows to the enemy is a man who chooses God before his circumstances change. He said, Satan wants to get us to resent God because he resents God. He hates God. And he wants to get his resentment into us. And it worked, sadly, with me at the beginning of Maria being sick. So that's another thing you're trying to get out of me. So one was my need to control. Two, my resentment towards you when things are hard. This is my immaturity, and you want to rid me of it. And I want both of these things out of me. So Jesus, I repent of my need to control. Holy Spirit, help me give up control and embrace my limitations. Help me to choose you, choose thankfulness, to choose life before my circumstances change. And I repent of my resentment toward you and for believing the enemy's first lie that you aren't good. And one of the things that they said in the podcast was, in times of difficulty, if we pay attention, God sometimes strides in to show us just how good he is. So then, as this interaction with the Holy Spirit continues, and guys, I'm just like feeling like a jerk at this point, but realizing like, okay, I'm experiencing something. This is relationship. And so I just had the courage to ask the question, well, where were you showing up with goodness? And I didn't even notice it while I was wallowing in the frustration of my situation. And I just began to recall a bunch of things that had happened in that same period of time when all seemed to be not going well. First, man, the homegoing that I did, and I do call it a homegoing because I know where she is, that was probably the best worship moment I had all weekend at a funeral because of the hope that we have in Jesus for a life beyond the grave. Man, that was so encouraging to me. I wish you could have been at that funeral. Who says that? I wish you could have been there to experience that. Man, it was unbelievable, unbelievable. So that was God's grace, even in the difficult situation of the loss of life. The second thing is, I said, I went into the race conversation weekend pretty anxious, but I think that was easily one of the most enjoyable weekends I was ever a part of. And I think Brian would say the same thing. You know what? Not that that was an easy conversation to have, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the opportunity to engage honestly around a topic that I just know doesn't get talked about in settings like that. It was a really amazing thing, and I felt God's care and covering in the midst of that whole weekend. Third thing, Your physical protection for me and the kids. This one still blows me away. We have never had a flu hit our house of five and only hit one of the five. To the point where you might judge me on this, I've stopped praying for protection from sickness when there's a flu in my house. It's never worked. Except for this time. It's never worked. So I pray, God, just like steal us and fortress us for the storm ahead, you know? Keep the toilets running because we're going to need them. Whatever it is, like, that's what I've just learned. Like, that's just reality. To this point, Maria is doing better, thankfully. And you know what? No one else got the flu. I don't know what to chalk that up to. I believe that that's God's grace. Four, one of the things that I went into this busy season with Undivided and all these things recognizing is, man, I got to find time to spend with my kids. It's going to be really hard to find enough time to spend with my kids. Well, guess what I did for the last 2 days? I was at, some of you saw me at the Madeira story time with my daughter. Yes, I was there. I went to another story time the previous day. And oh, by the way, another blessing, it was like 50 degrees in February. I was at the park with my boys. We're playing football. I'm like, what is this? So when I thought about all of those things, I realized in the midst of the correction that I needed because of my prideful, selfish response, the personhood of God is so good, and he was caring for me the whole time. The Spirit was with me, the Spirit was with our family, and I was cared for in the midst of that challenge. So one of the things that I would hope that we would see in that is, you know what, even in the midst of your difficult circumstances, man, God is available to you. The Spirit is available to you. This isn't just a mountaintop experience, Holy Spirit thing. Which is why I sometimes get so frustrated with the, you know, I feel the Spirit up in here. You know what? When life is crappy, nobody says that. And yet he's there. And sometimes we just need to notice this. So why did this happen for me? Why did this work for me? Do you realize it has nothing to do with me? Hopefully after I describe myself on Sunday night, you realize this had absolutely nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the fact that the personhood of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, loves us, pursues us, and will patiently and gently continue to show us his availability to us when we notice. I don't know if you ever heard about the book Yogi Bear for Christians, but my summary of all this is I noticed when I looked. That's actually not a real book, but that sounded like something Yogi Bear would say, so I put it that way. I noticed when I looked. Hey, you'll notice when you look. You'll notice when you look that this Holy Spirit is a person who's available to us and actually wants to relate to us. But we've got to prioritize the relationship. We've got to believe that Jesus actually wants to be in relationship with us, like right here and right now. Through his word, through our current reality, through prayer, through community, through the everyday of your life, that Jesus wants to be in relationship with you. And the way that happens is through this incredible thing that he did for us when he said, it's better for me if I leave. Because now my Spirit can live in you and relate to you personally in a regular way. So a couple things. As you go down this path, I want to encourage you to look for and to engage more with the Holy Spirit. But I'll give you a couple warnings if you go down this path. The first warning is get ready to let go of dead things. I don't think the way that the Holy Spirit corrected me is a fluke. That's a regular pattern in my life. I find that the closer I get to his life, the more obvious the dead things are in my life. And then he just begins to peel those away. So get ready to be pruned, get ready to be sharpened. But as some people like to say, get ready to live. Get ready to live, because when we embrace that relationship, there is life on the other side of it. I love what Hebrews 2:11 says, and then we're going to have communion and sing some more songs together about this wonderful gift of the Spirit. Hebrews 2:11 says, "For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." Stop and think about that. Stop and think about the fact that Jesus wanted relationship with you so much that he was willing to make it possible, and he is not ashamed to call you brother, to call you sister. That's how much he wants relationship with you. So I'm going to invite the communion volunteers to come down at this time, and as they come down, we've got stations here on the front, and then we've got stations on the back of the first level and also on the back of the first balcony. And if you're anywhere, grab some bread. whatever kind of bread works. Grab something to drink, whatever kind of drink works. Probably not Jack Daniels, but anything else could work. Jack Daniels might work, but anything else could work. And we're going to celebrate communion together. How many people had a chance to experience the Ash Wednesday experience that we did, either live or online? So if you'll remember, there was something you burned up at that experience, right? There was something that you let go of. And I want you to know, I believe that could very well be the thing that was keeping you from noticing and engaging more of the Spirit. And so just know that as we come tonight to take communion, let it be a reminder to us in this Lenten season to look for those things that obstruct our view of the Spirit. Because what this whole series is about is the fact that religion will obstruct your view of God. And what we need to do is remove those things out of the way so that we have an unfettered, unblocked view of the beautiful gift that is ours, that we can relate to Jesus through the precious Holy Spirit. So tonight as we take communion, we want to remember that. We want to remember that Jesus died on the cross so that he could get to us, relate to us, save us, so we could be in relationship with him right here, right now, and forevermore. So if you want to do that, if you want to receive more of the Spirit, I actually open with a prayer that's a prayer that wasn't original to me. We're going to put it up on the screen. And I want to just encourage all of us. In fact, let's just stand. Let's just stand together. You're going to have to stand anyway if you're going to take communion. And I want us in a moment to read this prayer together. And I only want you to read this prayer if you actually want this prayer to be answered. This is a prayer that says, Jesus, take everything away that is obstructing my view of who you really are. And I just want you for you. I want relationship with you. But man, if you want that, these words can be powerful for you. So in a moment, as you come up for communion, remember that we are a dipping church, not a sipping church. You're going to grab a piece of bread. You can dip it in either the grape juice, which is in the juice, or the wine is in a wine goblet. If you have any questions about that or any concerns about that, just ask the volunteers. They will point you to the right source. And this is an opportunity for us to remember that this prayer is possible because of what Jesus did for us. And at the end of tonight, I'm actually going to give you an opportunity, if you want, to receive even more of what the Holy Spirit has for you through prayer, because that's another way that we can experience him. But if you want this, you can pray these words with me right now. Let's pray this together. Jesus, show me who you really are. I pray for the true you. I want the real you. I ask you for you. Spirit of God, free me in every way to know Jesus as he really is. Open my eyes to see him. Deliver me from everything false about Jesus and bring me what is true. With those words, the table of the Lord is open for all who want to partake of communion.
Thank you.
to invite our prayer team to come to the front. If you feel like, man, I want more of me in the hands of the Holy Spirit, I want that connection to be stronger, then I just want to invite you to come up and receive prayer. It doesn't have to be a long thing, but they would love to just lay hands on you and just say, God, fill. What we see in the scriptures over and over again is we're invited to receive over and over and over again fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit. And I know I need them and want them all the time. And so before you leave, if you want that, you can come on up to the front. Otherwise, we are so glad you made it out for Next Level, and we will see you this weekend.